If you walk down some of the eating streets of many of our major cities and towns on a Saturday night, you'd swear that we were in a dining boom. The clatter of cutlery and the conversation threatens to drown out the traffic in some areas. But look a little closer, and behind the facade is an industry closing its doors in record numbers. The restaurant business has always been fickle and laden with risk, but when businesses aren't lasting 6 weeks and old-timers with fine reputations are collapsing after decades of survival, you have to ask what's going on, remembering that eating out provides jobs for somewhere around 150,000 Australians with all the prosperity that generates. Someone who knows more about that than most and the state of crisis that's facing our eateries right now is longtime restaurant trainer and consultant Tony Eldred. And Tony, welcome to RN First Bite.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Tony, did I overstep the mark or is there a crisis out there at the moment?
There is, actually. It's been building up for a number of years. There's a number of factors that are causing it at the moment. The first one is that the media are focused on food as the art of the century. I often joke that it used to be rock stars, now it's chefs. And people are flooding into the industry to fill restaurant spaces that are being perhaps ill-advisedly created by property developers who tend to put restaurants and cafes into almost everything they build these years. And what we're finding is that the restaurant industry and the cafe industry is being pushed beyond its market base. And people who look at it from outside, who go to restaurants on a Friday or a Saturday night and see them as full, assume that they're good businesses and a good way to make a living, when they should perhaps go in there on a Monday and a Tuesday night and see the restaurant with only 10 or 15 people in it, and they still have to pay staff and they have to pay rent and they have to pay their marketing costs, etc.
Therefore, is it the cult of celebrity, do you think, that's driving this dream to realise your own eatery?
Partially, but also a lot of people like to entertain, and they assume that the difference between running a dinner party at home and running a restaurant is buying larger saucepans. And the reality is that restaurants are very hard work, and there are not a lot of social aspect to running a restaurant. It's all-consuming. A lot of the older people who had skill and expertise in running restaurants and being effective commercial chefs, etc., are leaving the industry because of the hours, etc., and the destruction of family life that comes with it. So you've got a massive expansion in the industry at a time when the skill base is probably as low as I've ever seen in 40 years. At the same time, the public are being educated by television and the media to be a lot more discerning and picky about what they expect.
That's not a bad thing, I take it.
Well, it can be. You know, they watch an intricate dish being done on MasterChef, etc., and expect that every mid-level restaurant is going to be able to produce food to that sort of standard and appearance, where the amount of labour that goes into actually producing what I would call art food, etc., is beyond the ability of most average restaurants to produce commercially or in a manner that they're going to make a profit off. So there's a number of factors: too many restaurants, low-skilled staff, and public with a very high expectation of what to expect for their dollars.
What's it like around the nation? What are the snapshots you're getting back in terms of figures of closure around some of the cities and towns of Australia?
Put it this way, the rate of closures is accelerating, and they're reaching, as you indicated in your introduction, to larger and older, well-established businesses that normally would have been immune. And the reason for that is that if you've been in the industry for a long time and you've been successful, there's a tendency when the economy changes suddenly or whatever to sit on your hands and hope that it will revert. Whereas in reality, that when economics deteriorate in a restaurant, you have to react very quickly. You've got to strip your wages back, your food costs, etc., very quickly. Otherwise, you'll end up going into solid loss. And some of the older ones really just haven't moved with the times. They got used 20 years ago to putting good food on a plate and reasonable service and automatically making a profit. And as margins have deteriorated, they've needed to adopt more and more sophisticated management techniques, and a lot of them haven't, and so they pay the price.
Well, someone else who's been working their way through other realms of the food world to come up with their own model for running a restaurant is my other guest. James Viles is the executive chef and owner of Biota, which is a regional restaurant in the southern New South Wales town of Bowral. And James has just won Young Restaurateur of the Year in the Appetite for Excellence Awards. And James, welcome to RN First Bite. Congratulations.
Thank you, Michael.
James, just explain the kind of experience you brought to what you do now to even start running a restaurant that survived the first couple of years and into its third year of operation.
Yeah, I guess there's no pretty bow on it. It is tough, and you do need to be very careful on how you operate. It's also, it's in essence a little bit of micromanagement on a daily basis with a restaurant.
And you started your experience by working for other people in other parts of the world, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I started off in Sydney, and then I did some brief stints in Hong Kong, Shanghai, and then in large hotels, restaurants within large hotels. And
to
then
the point
to
where
the Middle East.
In the Middle East. And so how many people in the Middle East in that particular workplace did you have under your charge?
110 chefs and about 90 waiters.
And what are the pros and cons, James, of deciding to locate your own restaurant, the first one you've owned and run yourself according to your vision, outside a major capital city? What were the risks and what are the returns?
No returns yet, but but risks, I would say, are great. And I mean, risks in all business, whether it be a restaurant or whatever, need to be taken. But, you know, having a restaurant in the Southern Highlands of Bowral, I mean, I guess the risk and the downside to that is that in that first year and a half to 2 years, you don't have the walking, passing trade that you would have in a city. And you need to build a very honest and very humble and very, very structured approach and philosophy and business plan that intends on gaining that trust of customers.
But James, in that first year, when you sat down with the family who are co-owners and business owners of your enterprise here, did you say, we anticipate we will lose this much money in our first year?
Yeah, we did, and even in the second year.
And did that come to pass?
Yes, it did.
Do you mind me asking how much that was?
A lot. And the goal for us is not just a restaurant. You know, we've just purchased a hotel as well, which feeds the restaurant as a destination dining venue. So, you know, the goal for us is not just to have an eatery for people to come and eat at. It's to have a destination, a world of food and beds and sleep and wine and everything else at a modest, accessible, realistic price range. So to have a restaurant now with accommodation is something that's pushing us to the next level. And that was always on the plans, but it's taken 2 to 3 years to get there.
Tony, do you reckon James is going in quite quickly on all this?
I think that the combination of accommodation and food and beverage is a good combination. The restaurant on its own in a place like Bowral is very difficult. And the comment that hit home to me during that last question was you have to create really high standards in order to win people to a destination restaurant, and establishing in a regional area where you're recruiting from staff who've never experienced the standard that you're trying to achieve makes things terribly difficult. Now, there's acute staff shortage anyway, but taking somebody from a regional town and having to train them from scratch to perhaps run at a one or two hat level, that's a real trick.
And it is actually, and it's ongoing on a daily basis, 6-7 days a week. Like Tony said, for me, it's obvious beds. You know, there's a lot more margin in beds than there is in food. And those beds are going to, and already have been, adding to our revenue and not only helping support the restaurant, but pushing it forward and stamping it or concreting it into the marketplace as something that it can be.
How many hours a week are you working at the moment?
Probably about 70, 80.
Mm-hmm. So two jobs, really. A lot of restaurateurs, when you divide their hourly rate by their income, they're earning about $11 an hour or less.
I also think that if you're going to open a restaurant and you want to become a millionaire, you're an idiot.
Yeah, that's true.
You're an idiot because it's not going to happen. You need to have side projects to fund what you're doing. And if you enjoy cooking and you enjoy serving people and you have a clear philosophy in it and a very strong attitude to what you do as a restaurateur, then chase it, but have something to support it.
In terms of consumer behaviour, Tony, can I ask you about this? Do you believe that over your 40 years in the industry, we behave differently when we go in to dine these days?
Very much so. You only have to see a row of people in a restaurant like Cumulus sitting along the kitchen bar taking photos of all the food and asking the chefs where the cinnamon comes from. And whereas, you know, when I started in the industry, you would go to a fine dining restaurant perhaps for a social occasion and you would have a Geraldton waiter wheel up a trolley and prepare half the meal in front of you. A restaurant who tried to do that today would either have to charge $300 a head or they would go out backwards very quickly. So the whole nature has changed. Essentially, it'll be survival of the fittest. There's an awful lot of food being put out in restaurants across Australia, and I'm not directing this at you, James, but there's a lot of food that I see where I get a dish placed in front of me and do a quick costing on it and know they're not making any money on this there. And they probably don't even realise because their systems don't allow them to cost each dish accurately or track volatile ingredients like strawberries or red capsicum that go up and down immensely.
Yeah.
And so they trade for a month and keep their fingers crossed until the figures come out hoping that they've done all right.
Yeah, exactly. And I think when it comes to ingredients, you know, we have one dish on our menu, for instance, that is milk and eggs. And to make, it's costing us around $2.70.
I have to ask you, how much are you selling it for?
Well, it's on our, we do degustation, so it's on our five-course degustation. Each one is roughly out at about $26. So
now before we jump to conclusions on that, to be fair to you, you need to discuss how much labour and everything it takes to present it, to wash the dishes, to serve it.
Exactly. Yep. And we have a dining room that's 70-odd seats, and we have a bar lounge area that serves casual, modest food, which is about 80 seats. We run both of those with four floor staff and four chefs.
So your average hourly wage bill would be quite substantial. And what the public don't realise is those staff not only are there for their dining visit, but they're all day doing prep, front of house training, setting up. And there's probably 2 to 3 hours of labour for every 1 hour of service labour involved in your restaurant.
Well, I hope any aspiring restaurateurs out there are listening and taking heed and maybe taking some notes as well, because as I think you've both so frankly said, if you think you're going to make money out of forming a restaurant, you're an idiot. So,
basically, I think.
James Viles, Tony Eldred, it's been a pleasure. Thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.